everybody that you run into. Well, we're sorry for that technical bust up there. Seems as though we lost air altogether, lost broadcasting time. So this is Mental Health Radio, take it from us. And we did start with our theme music, Joe Cocker. We were rocking away in the studio and then everything got cut. So we are back on air now. And thank you for our listeners being patient. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran. As I've mentioned, this is Mental Health Radio, take it from us, brought to you and funded by Framework Trust. And Framework, in fact, has a significant announcement to make. They're very excited to share that Connect Supporting Recovery, commonly known as Connect, and Framework have reached a legal agreement to merge the two organisations. Now, that's going to happen from the 1st of July this year, 2019. Connect and Framework will operate as a new, yet-to-be-named merged entity in community mental health. A statement from both of the chairs of Connect and Framework says this is an exciting shared future for both organisations, and reaching a legal agreement follows extensive discussions about how we might build on the successes of both Connect and Framework. The two chairmen are delighted to announce that Daryl Bishop, who is the CEO of Connect, has accepted the role of Group CEO for the new entity and will take up this role next month from the 4th of February. Daryl will then lead the process of merging the operations of Connect and Framework, ready for an official launch on the 1st of July 2019. So this is a very exciting and significant development in community mental health. The statement goes on to say they are delighted to announce that Colin Dawson has agreed to take a position as chair of the new trust board, the merged trust board, which will provide skill governance to the new entity. Colin Dawson has a significant portfolio of governance roles, and his experience will be invaluable both in the establishment of the new trust but also supporting the CEO for years to come. Colin will join existing board members from both organisations ensure that the services delivery company and social enterprise and innovation hub run very efficiently. So as these two companies come together, we remain committed to retaining all of our current services, and all community and residential services will remain open, providing the same level of care through the establishment phase. It says, this statement in the last paragraph, that has been heartened by the fantastic support received from funders, service users and our own staff to create an exciting new merged entity. Through all conversations, people expressed excitement at the potential of our new organisation, our new organisation will have to improve services for people across New Zealand. So that's the statement from the Chair of Framework Services, Fuimoana Tuiasao, and Erica Hodgson, the Chair of Connect Supporting Recovery. So that's a merger between Framework, the trust here funds take it from us, and Connect Supporting Recoveries, which I believe has services throughout the North Island and in some parts of the South Island. So the merged entity will have quite a geographic scope and coverage. Now, we promoted Take It From Us yesterday with these words. Patient assaults on staff in mental health units are fueling harmful attitudes among people that all people with mental illness are violent. Views that couldn't be further from the truth. I'd like to read some headlines which capture some of the sensational coverage that these patient assaults have resulted in. The first I found online was Whangarei Hospital Mental Health Unit patient dies after assaulting staff member being restrained. Another, nurses to meet with health boss over ongoing assaults and violence. Five staff assaulted at Taranaki Base Hospital Mental Health Ward. And a further headline, nurse stabbed at Christchurch Hospital day before meeting over workplace violence. And Hillmorton Hospital, which is in Christchurch, has been somewhat of the focus of many of these assaults by patients. And another headline said, Christchurch's Hillmorton Hospital plagued by safety issues. And a further headline I found online yesterday, which is fairly disturbing, assaults on hospital staff are on the rise in Northland, with the highest number of assaults ever recorded in 2017. And then I read this headline. Multiple DHBs are conducting illegal video surveillance of mental health inpatients. Now, this story is of greatly disturbing And it clearly states that electronic surveillance on patients is being conducted by many DHBs, and it includes the patient's treatment and therapy, and conflicts clearly with their privacy. Now, the headline is associated with a major article, an authoritative article, I would say, by guest writer Karen Black, who is a former mental health advocate with Kahui Te Kaha in Auckland. That's the old Affinity Services. This article and its worrying disclosures stopped me in my tracks and also reminded me of my stay at the Fraser McDonald unit almost exactly this time last year. And I realised what I saw at Fraser McDonald indicated that there were cameras even in patient bedrooms. So let's go to Karen Black's article. And it says here, the headline, multiple DHBs are conducting illegal video surveillance of mental health inpatients. Now, this is a story which is very much connected with the way we promoted Take It From Us yesterday about patient assaults on staff in mental health units, fueling harmful attitudes among the New Zealand public. And the use of illegal video surveillance is perhaps indicates that this is very much a two-sided story. Now, this article by Karen Black, and I'm reading it in part, it turns out that over 60% of our adult inpatient units are utilising the technology of video surveillance to some extent. More troubling is that at least five have CCTV operating in what would be defined as treatment areas. Karen Black says this poses a number of concerns, especially given that the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act 1992 expressly prohibits the use of audio or video recording of treatment without patient consent. When undertaking the CCTV audit that Karen Black did, she discovered that the majority of district health boards justified the use of video surveillance, saying it improved safety for patients, staff and visitors. And to a great extent, Take It From Us's broadcast today is very much about safety in inpatient units or acute psychiatric units. Karen Black says when reviewing the literature relating to CCTV use, there seems to be little evidence to suggest CCTV reduced violent incidents within mental health inpatient units. Put bluntly, this technology is not a helpful tool for improving safety. Part of the problem is the continuing stigma and stereotyping faced by mental health patients. Recently, we have heard stories of our inpatient units becoming increasingly dangerous workplaces. She says a 2014 article in Kai Tiaki, a magazine produced by the New Zealand Nurses Organisation, stated there were, and this is a staggeringly high figure, stated there were 4,821 reported assaults on staff nationwide between 2010 and 2012. Unfortunately, she says, the narratives of these stories tend to play into the public's perception of the violent and dangerous mental health patient. Narratives that are not only damaging and incorrect, but that neglect a crucial perspective. The reports often focus solely on staff experiences of violence, ignoring the violence experienced by people actually using mental health services. Conversely, there seems to be limited acknowledgement of the violent nature of mental health services themselves and a refusal to recognise some of the institutionalised violence of the system, such as forced detention, locked wards, and certainly my experience in inpatient units has been that they are always locked wards. Fraser McDonald was certainly a locked ward, and it seems to me that it gives great power and control over the patients when you have to explain why you want to go out, what you're going to do, what your cell phone number is if you've got it with you so that they can contact you, and how long you are going to be. There's also physical restraint, which I saw with my own eyes, seclusion, which is a very controversial practice in the New Zealand psychiatric services, and enforced medication. And again, I go back to my experience at Fraser McDonald, where quetiapine was introduced without any consultation or consent. And when I questioned what this little pink pill was, I was told, well, it was a very good addition to sleeping medication. So any consideration of safety needs to take into account the experiences of people using these services. Karen Black says, if we are serious about improving the safety of inpatient units, we must consider these issues and bring the voice of the service user to the forefront of any further discussions. In her survey about electronic surveillance, another question was asked, what would improve safety in a mental health inpatient unit? Well, responses indicate that what was most important was not CCTV or security staff, but increased access to peer support. And I'd have to say that I certainly wasn't offered any peer support in the 4 weeks I was at Fraser McDonald. There were very few day programs, and day programs is another issue that is recommended by service users. Outside garden areas, quiet spaces and sensory modulation. I would say quiet spaces at Fraser McDonald, we had to do mindfulness with people wandering around almost in the area that we were doing mindfulness, making a lot of racket and interrupting any opportunity to feel that you were in the now and relaxing. So this view of safety is more about enhancing the therapeutic environment positively and improving well-being rather than restriction and control. So as a result of this nationwide review of CCTV use, it couldn't be clearer to me that there needs to be change. The use of such equipment in treatment areas is plainly illegal. Even if it weren't, all the research suggests it is neither helpful nor effective as a tool for addressing safety. There must be better alternatives to the issue of well-being, ideas that take into account the violence inherent in the institution of psychiatry in New Zealand, ideas which acknowledge that a culture of custodial care and surveillance can only beget negative responses. Well, this is quite a staggeringly controversial survey about illegal video surveillance of mental health patients. It really struck me as a very disturbing article, and I hope to meet with Karen Black after this broadcast today. So let's take our first music break. Declan, what have you got today?
I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Firstly, is those 4,821 assaults, have they broken them down to categories? Because you could just say putting a hand on someone's shoulder could constitute that.
Yeah, well, I have to say that is a very, very disturbingly high figure. Mm. What I don't know is whether it is broken into categories, and I suspect that it's not just involving mental health units, but this is throughout hospitals generally.
Yep.
So, but, you know, 4,821 assaults on staff in our hospital system is very, very disturbing.
And I think, too, the idea of being in that ward is any ward is to get yourself back up again. So surely you need something to occupy your mind during the day to help yourself get back up. Otherwise, it'll be pretty boring.
Well,
okay.
unfortunately, I think television is sort of the minder, is used as the minder of people, which is hardly the way to relax into a recovery mode.
The little hypnotic box in the corner that teaches us how to be nasty. right. Anyway, I've got a song here from the late Dan Fogelberg. It goes back fair way. You might not have heard it before. It's same old Lang Syne, and I'm just going to get him to try and give me a bit more sound. There he goes. Enjoy.
Met my old lover in the grocery store. The snow was falling Christmas Eve. I stole behind her in the frozen foods, and I touched her on the sleeve. At first, but then her eyes flew open wide. She went to hug me and she spilled her purse, and we laughed until we to reach beyond the emptiness, but neither
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And Declan, that was Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah, that's the one. Apparently he's no longer with us, so a bit rude.
Yeah, well, nice track there.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, I'm host of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, Sheldon Brown, with technician Derek. Derek?
Where did
Derek.
I get that?
Declan.
Don't Derek. Tempt me, I've Declan had too many Curran. Changes.
Yeah, and we're talking today about patient assaults on staff and mental health units, which is fueling harmful attitudes among many New Zealanders that all people with mental illness are violent. And in my research yesterday about these patient assaults, I discovered this very disturbing report from a guest writer, Karen Black, who is a former mental health advocate with Kahui Tu Kaha. She is also a member of CAPO, which is a direct action community group addressing psychiatric oppression. And the reason that I'm focusing on this report about illegal video surveillance is that I can see that there are clearly two sides to this violence story. And Karen and I agree with Karen's view that our mental health system is a fairly violent, bullying and damaging system. I'd say that the bullying that I received in Fraser McDonald unit, where nurses deliberately forgot my name or couldn't get it right, which I think was an absolute insult, never having forewarning of any appointments with psychiatrists and their assistants, having those people just wander into my room and sort of say, well, is it okay to sit down and talk with you? And I'm now very suspicious that they wanted to talk in my room because it was going to be recorded by the clear camera that I now recall was in my room. So there may have been an agenda here that the psychiatrist and his assistant, and it's always fascinating to me that there's always two professional staff against the one patient. So if there's any need to corroborate what happened at that meeting, they can quite clearly have a majority view against you, which I think is a bullying tactic. One of the things that I wanted to detail in this research that has been done by Karen Black is that she did quite extensive research falling back on the Official Information Act to get a lot of this information, and she details in a graph where CCTV is used in acute psychiatric units. In the southern area in Dunedin, it's been used since 1992 in that hospital in Dunedin. The CCTV covers communal areas, foyers, hallways and the front entrance. In Canterbury, it's the front entrance, the reception and the loading bay. In Nelson Marlborough, it's the main and rear entrance. The medication room, which I find quite interesting, the intensive care unit and the special care unit. At Capital Coast, it's at reception in the corridor and the vehicle entrance, and in Whanganui, where it's been used since 2012-13, in the three lounge areas, which I would say are necessarily designed for relaxation and private discussion among patients, the reception entrance, the reception foyer, the visitor foyer, the courtyard. Well, why you would need CCTV in the courtyard, I am surprised to hear that. The staff entrance to the car park. And I would say that that is an area where hospital authorities think that there may be attacks on staff in the entrance to the car park. In the Hawke's Bay, it's been used since 2016. In the public entrance, both external and internal, the main reception, the vehicle bay, the inner hall from the vehicle bay and the maintenance bay. So none of those are too impacting on the privacy of patients, I guess. Certainly not in any of the therapeutic areas. But we have in Auckland. I'm not sure which psychiatric unit that is, but certainly the medication room is covered by CCTV. And in Northland, it's the reception, the outside main entry, the swipe access area, the security gate, and the internal garage.
I was just going to add in there, it's interesting though to have CCTV, but is anybody actually watching and monitoring it? And the other question that I had was, when you are in the room, do they tell you beforehand that things are recording? And
well, certainly in my experience, I have never been asked to consent to be in a hospital where CCTV is operating. According to Karen Black, it is illegal under the Act here, the Mental Health Compulsory Assessment and Treatment Act of 1992, she says, expressly prohibits the use of audio or video recording of treatment without patient consent.
And one last question I have for you. Do you think that was just because you do mental health radio, if they knew that and they were singling you out, or do you think it's something they do right across the board?
Well, I think they do it right across the board. I mean, I don't think that they were singling me out. In fact, I think I may have got slightly better and more respectful treatment when they knew that I was a mental health radio broadcaster.
So they didn't think you jumped in one of those little homemade microlights and flown over the border type thing.
I hadn't been using my what is it,
the little hoverboard things, those little things with the jet things on the back, and you sit and zip
up. Jetpack, no,
yeah, that'd be ideal.
I was thinking more of the things that closed one of London's main airports.
Oh, those damn drones.
So let's take another music break, Declan. We'll break our discussion up with a bit of music.
Why not? I've got one for the young ones here. Of course, I've got to look after you. Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding seem to be pairing up for quite a few songs lately. I haven't really researched much about this other than I can tell you it comes from the album called Motion, which has got an interesting looking cover. The song is Outside. We're inside. Hopefully you're outside enjoying the weather. And here is Outside from Calvin Harris and Ellie Goulding. And of course you're listening to Take It From Us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting on 104.6 Planet FM every single Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown of Mental Health Radio Take It From Us with technician Declan Curran, and we're talking today about the impact of publicity about patient assaults on staff in mental health units. That publicity has been fueling, I think, harmful attitudes among many New Zealanders that all people with mental illness are violent, and I want to say that those views couldn't be further from the truth. I would also like to invite anybody who would like to respond to the news that CCTV is used across inpatient units and has returned some alarming results. I'm wondering whether people that have been in inpatient units are aware that CCTV may have been used in those units, or also what knowledge you have about it. Whether you were aware of it when you were in an inpatient unit, you could ring us on 09 815 8100. We'll check out the red lights on our production board here and try and respond to any calls. So that number is 09 815 8100. One of the organisations that has been very concerned about the impact of all this publicity about patient assaults on staff and mental health units is the Mental Health Foundation, and they issued a statement earlier this month. It's aware, it says, of increasing public concern about assaults on staff in mental health units, and it concedes that no one should ever be assaulted at work. We hope that goes without saying. We share concerns for nurse and staff safety and want to see urgent action to address it. The Mental Health Foundation says some of the stories we've read in the media have been deeply concerning. Violent incidents in hospitals have led to nurses and staff being seriously injured. This is not acceptable. Our health system needs to provide safe working environments so those who work in our hospitals feel safe and able to do their jobs well, and those receiving treatment can get the support they need to recover. However, the Mental Health Foundation says it is disappointing that some media discussions of these incidents have reinforced tired old stereotypes about people who live with mental distress being unstable, unpredictable, and unsafe, instead of looking at why violence is occurring in mental health units and what we can do to prevent it. And that is one of the reasons why I have raised this whole issue of the CCTV use and how frustrating it is for patients to know that they are being recorded, that their privacy isn't being infringed, and in fact that legislation is being completely tossed aside and these activities are illegal. And I can well feel that that would create frustration in me, upset, if I knew that my activities in hospital, my desire to recover, all of that is infringing my privacy. So it says here, research is clear that people who live with mental illness, that's those of us who have experience of mental health, are more likely to be the victims of violence than the perpetrators. These people with lived experience, the statement from the Mental Health Foundation says, are not inherently dangerous or violent because they are going through significant mental distress. And not all mental health services experience significant levels of violence. Many of the violent incidents reported within hospitals over the last year have occurred outside of mental health units and have not involved people receiving mental health treatment. It is incorrect to think that violence is an inevitable part of providing mental health services, or that people in mental health units are typically malicious and aggressive. Those who are in mental health units are some of New Zealand's most vulnerable people. Many have been through significant trauma. They are often experiencing some of the most challenging times in their lives and may be feeling scared and alone. Instead of finding respite and a place to recover, they are often placed in environments that can't keep them safe and in many cases that increase their trauma. Last year's government inquiry into mental health and addiction confirmed what we already knew. Our mental health system is under huge pressure. It's understaffed, under-resourced, and most units are overcrowded. This creates safety risks for staff and patients alike. And I would like to add my own personal experience about this time last year, exactly this time last year, of being put into Fraser MacDonald unit. And that's the only unit that I would qualify to go into because of my age, and sharing all of the facilities there with people who had serious dementia. Now, it does seem to me that it's hardly an environment of recovery when you are mixing with people with serious dementia who are saying the same things probably almost every 30 minutes, every time they pass by you, they say the same thing or ask you the same question. It's demoralizing, it's undermining, and it is it's very much a negative to the prospect of recovery. Well, let's take another music break and then we'll come back to the statement from the Mental Health Foundation about patient assaults on staff in mental health units.
Yeah, I finally got this little rat bag to behave again. I had to reboot it. Don't tempt me. Song here, I'm gonna give the young ones two in a row. Justin Bieber, or Bebo as I call him, and a song called Where Are You Now? Hope you enjoy this one. It's take it from us, Mental Health Radio, broadcasting on 104.6 Planet FM, right here every Tuesday from 12:30 to 1:30. And here is Justin Bebo.
Just admit it. See, I gave you faith, turned your doubt into hoping. Can't deny it. Now I'm all alone and my joys turn them open. Tell me, where are you now that I need you? Where are you now?
Where are you now?
Where are you now that I need you? Couldn't find you anywhere. When you broke down, I didn't leave you. Oh, I was by your side. So where are you now that I need you? Oh, where are you now that I need you? Nobody else was paying. I gave you the shirt off my back. What you're saying to keep you warm? I showed you the game everybody else was playing. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
And I was on my knees when nobody else was praying. Oh Lord.
Just going to say there, coming back out of that track, that over the years he seems to have settled down and matured a bit more, and certainly quite a decent voice there, I must admit. Over to you.
Well, I hope we're not insulting our young listeners about Bebo. You're not...
Bebo.
Well, yeah.
Nah, he's all right.
He's all right.
He's settled down now. I used to look at him sideways at one stage, but now I think he's actually starting to get his act together.
Well, it's good to hear. If Declan is giving him an endorsement, then he must be coming right.
Not necessarily.
Well, we're talking today about patients' assaults on staff and mental health units, and how this is very much a two-sided issue. There's clearly another side to the story, and we have underlined this issue of inpatient units having CCTV coverage in many of our psychiatric units. You can check that out online. The article is by Karen Black, who is formerly a consumer mental health advocate with Kahui Tu Kaha. She's still working with Kahui Tu Kaha in a different capacity, and she's also a member of CAPO, C-A-P-O, a direct action community group addressing psychiatric oppression in Aotearoa. And I think those two words, psychiatric oppression, most of it would occur in psychiatric units, and I think it's little wonder that patients get frustrated with the lack of programs, the lack of peer support, the lack of freedom, the control and bullying of staff, and it's little wonder that we have got conflict between patients and staff. I've been reading a statement from the Mental Health Foundation, which says patient assaults on staff and mental health units, a statement from the Mental Health Foundation. And it goes on to say that the overuse of compulsory treatment in our mental health services creates an environment where distrust and anger are heightened, and the continued use of untherapeutic practices like restraint and seclusion create further risk and trauma. We have seen no mention of this in any of the media coverage or public discussion of these incidents of patient assaults on staff, says the statement. The views and interests of people who live with mental distress have not been well represented. As far as we can tell, no one is asking patients why these incidents are happening or how they could be prevented. We would like to see more discussion of why people in mental health units are becoming so distressed that they are acting aggressively and hurting staff, rather than an unchallenged acceptance of the outdated and cruel stereotype that people who live with mental illness are dangerous and violent.
I'd like to know, just to butt in there, why it's at this point where we are, like we're 20 years down track almost from where I had my diagnosis, and I would have thought there would have been a model now that they could get staff together and all say, what's going to work for you and how can we keep people's minds occupied and get them back up to the well-being, and put that model right across the whole country. Because if the funds aren't there to put these facilities into place and you're just putting somebody in there, it must be pretty boring sitting all day with nothing much to do. And I imagine that's getting people down and getting them quite rather aggressive.
Well, they have a new psychiatric unit, Declan, in your part of Auckland.
I want to go for a tour there. Sure. I don't want to get unwell to do it, but I want to go for a tour.
But it has been dogged by lack of staff there. Mm, they haven't been able to use the full capacity of that centre. I took a tour through it probably about a year ago. It's very much a lockdown environment.
Do you think it's a high staff turnover because of the nature of the work, or do you think that they, once again, with funding, or is it just that people don't want to go into that line of healthcare?
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who are wanting to do the mental health certificates and study mental health and obviously practice with their, their qualifications.
Yeah.
But this sort of very negative and sensational publicity, I guess, puts people off.
I was just thinking, too, that when you are working in a mental health environment, you've got mental health issues yourself, you obviously have to keep yourself in a good space and be able to keep emotionally distanced from what you're getting involved in. So I wonder whether that contributes to perhaps a high burnout rate, quicker turnover, who knows? That could be a factor. But I know my psychiatrist sometimes says he goes in the weekend to catch up on work and that it's pretty stressful. So, yeah.
Well, I think they're all overworked, and certainly at Fraser McDonald, it was, they're on shift all the time,
and
people were coming in at different times.
Yeah, I think I was just going to quickly jump in there and say I think it's quite important too that we also recognise that people there are probably doing the best they can with the limited resources they're given in a stressful environment.
Well, statement says from the Mental Health Foundation is very relevant to what we are talking about, because they say we urgently need a mental health system that is caring, empathetic and safe for all. Those who use our mental health services should feel safe and able to recover, and their experiences should inform how we design support systems so they work well for the people who use and work in them. And I'd have to say that at Fraser McDonald, the only useful program was an exercycle, and the support worker there very kindly gave me a cord, which meant that I could power it up and use it at different levels of weight, if you like. So that was the thing that I used to put some structure into my day. And the first thing I would do after breakfast was to go and do half an hour on the exercycle.
I've got an exercycle sitting in my spare room. The motivation is getting onto the damn thing. I walk past and go, I must get onto that later in the day. And then it just goes just like a passing thought.
Well, there's one thing about being in a psychiatric unit which is not very pleasant. It gives you the motivation to get out of there as fast as you possibly can.
I was going to say, you'd pretty much want to take the trainer wheels off and then basically head for the door quickly on your exercise cycle while it's open.
That's right. So it says here, we urgently need a mental health system that is caring, empathetic and safe for all. One in five New Zealanders will experience mental distress or illness this year. Up to 80% of us will experience some form of mental distress in our lifetimes. When we're going through hard times, we all deserve support, compassion, empathy and respect. That's a wonderful statement to make, but I would say, in my experience, that support, compassion, empathy and respect are not things that you get in a psychiatric unit. So we hope you will join us in changing the conversation about mental illness and distress to ensure it is fair, humane and focused on creating an Aotearoa where we are all safe, supported and included. And I guess it's fair to say that the government inquiry into mental health and addictions is hoping to achieve exactly that. I do want to make some comment about the summary report about that government inquiry, but I'll do that next time up. So
I was just going to quickly say maybe they need to knock the building blocks down and restart looking at a different model and taking a different tack.
Yeah. Yeah, well, let's just go to our community notices. There is a very exciting and quite adventurous festival that's being planned in Christchurch. This is coming up in March, and it's called Divergence, a Festival of Madness. It's going to run from March 30 to April 6 under the banners of Mad Wisdom and Mad Pride. Check this out because it's called Divergence, a Festival of Madness. They're wanting people to get involved, to host an event. You've got an invitation to ask the organisers anything about Divergence. So that's from March the 30th to April 6th. What have you got, Dick?
I've got a peer employment training, Connect Supporting Recovery, 28C Lambie Drive in Manukau. It's from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Starts from February the 14th and goes through to March the 19th. Then you graduate on March the 20th. Any service users in the county's Manukau area with an interest in working in peer support are able to go. There's light morning and afternoon tea provided, and you can contact Rachel Maloney. Her cell phone number is 021-625560, or you can email her at Rachel, that's R-A-C-H-E-L dot Maloney, M-A-L-O-N-E-Y, at connectsr.org.nz.
And actually, the location there is Drive Direction, which is Connect Supporting Recovery. So I think that's in Lambie Drive there.
28C, yep.
Yeah. So also in the county's Manukau area, there's Mental Health First Aid, a two-day workshop. So this is going to be held at the Nathan Homestead at 70 Hill Road in Auckland, up very close to the Botanical Gardens. So the two dates that they've got, Mental Health First Aid is all about learning to listen without judging, giving support and information, encouraging relevant professional support, encouraging other supports. Now this, struggling to find, this is going to be on Monday the 11th of February from 9 a.m. And the second one is going to be on Saturday the 23rd of February. If you want any further information, you can get in touch with Anne-Marie on 021-892-789. Well, it sounds as though we've just about done our
I just want to throw part of this in just because it's for Saturday. Saturday the 26th of January, 10:30 a.m. at Parr Homestead in Hillsborough. It's the first meeting of it's at Care NZ, and it's for Support Braveheart. So, zap along there. Oh.